Today we read from the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, who is creator, maker of all we see and all we don't see, who is ruler of the universe, source of all creation. We believe in one God, who is Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God and true human. He is one with the Creator, the Word made flesh, our Messiah, Savior of all creation. We believe in one God, who is Holy Spirit, breath of God moving among us, who is one with the Creator, one with the Christ, our Comforter and our Guide, Mentor of all creation. Amen.
Please be seated. Our focus scripture this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the first 10 verses. God's promise to Israel. And if you back up into the last few verses of chapter 10, you'll see and hear that Isaiah has told Israel, who has been in exile, that God's going to clear the forest. God's going to do a clean cut of all the trees and start over again. So here's what follows those happy words. God's promise. Pay close attention. "A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord. He won't judge by appearances nor decide by hearsay. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth. By the breath of his lips, he will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his hips, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and a lion will eat straw like an ox. A nursing child will play over the snake's hole. Toddlers will reach right over the serpent's den. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the waters cover the sea. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. I think that every year that my grandfather on my mother's side was alive, for all the years that I knew him, he wanted the same thing every year for Christmas. We would ask him, "Grandpa, what do you want for Christmas?" And his answer would be, "Peace and quiet." I get that. He had 21 grandchildren, and when those 21 grandchildren would gather in a rather small house with 10 adults, or maybe a few more included, it wasn't peaceful, it wasn't quiet, it was mass chaos. Peace and quiet. We would like that too, wouldn't we? We all would like some peace and quiet once in a while. It's hard to find. It's hard to keep around very long if we do find it. We would like peace for the whole world, wouldn't we? We say that quite often. Watch a beauty pageant, they ask the questions of the contestants. What do you want? Peace and quiet. World peace. Everybody getting along. No war. No guns booming, bombs exploding. Peace. World peace. But is that good enough? Is that all that we're willing to settle for is world peace? We think about peace as no war, but there's more to it than that, isn't there? We know how the world is. Conflicts here and there and everywhere. Civil wars, police actions, etc. Not any big wars right now and hopefully never again, but a lot of little ones. It's become normal. We think that's just the way that the world is. People are never going to get along. They're going to fight. The best we can do is keep it to a bare minimum, maybe with some little breaks in between of those little skirmishes. That's normal. That's the way it is. But Isaiah says different. We heard that just a few minutes ago, didn't we? Isaiah says that's not normal, folks. That's not normal, Israel. That's not normal 2,000 years ago, nor is it normal in today's world. And he lays out this picture, this promise, this dream, maybe, of what God has in store. Remember, the wolf will lie down with the lamb? Really? The bear and the cow live together peacefully? Really? Lions will eat straw like the ox. This is weird language, isn't it? We know better than that. The kids know better than that. Isaiah and God must be dreaming. These are powerful words for this season of Advent. On this day when we light the candle of peace. Powerful words, yet words of inspiration and hope. Words that maybe, just maybe, this might come to pass at some time. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? This could never happen. But these words from Isaiah, these words of which sound impossible, Walter Brueggemann, a professor of Old Testament, well-known professor of Old Testament, calls these words, this dream, this promise, the impossible possibility of the new creation. We might think it's impossible, but Isaiah tells Israel, tells us that it is possible. A new creation will come, will be in place. There will be peace. Not peace as we think of it, but peace that is known as shalom. We've heard that word before. Shalom. Brueggemann defines it this way. A creation time when all God's creation eases up on hostility and destruction and finds another way of relating. Another way of relating with one another. When that happens, the rules of life will be changed. No longer will we move in a direction of hostility and conflict with one another. We'll move in the direction of gentleness and peace, and not just any peace. Not the peace that we think about when we hear the word peace, but God's peace. And in reality, we will be returning at that time to the way things that were meant to be. The way things that God created the world to be. Obviously, it's not here yet. We know that. Don't have to look very far to find that out. But we have been promised better than what we experience right now, the way the world is now. We have God's promise, God's vision, God's dream, if you will, of the world at peace, relating to one another in peace and in love. I had a college and high school friend, several years ago we were in discussion at a difficult time when there was hostility in the world. People weren't getting along, and he said, and people like to give pastors suggestions on what they should preach on, by the way. That's okay. He said, no. He said, you know, maybe you ought to preach a sermon on tolerance. And I said, yeah, maybe. But as I thought about it, I should have said, no. No. While tolerance would be a start, Jesus didn't say, tolerate one another as I have tolerated you. Love one another as I have loved you. Tolerance would be a start, but love is the goal. Love is the way that we relate to one another, that God wants us to relate to one another. That's not always easy either. And while it seems impossible, God's peace will reign. It's just not here yet. I ran across this story this week in part of some of my study. It's about a Jesuit priest named Alfred Delp. He was alive during World War II, and just after the end of World War II, he was executed on false charges connected with a plot to kill Adolf Hitler. Now, he hadn't been in that plot or part of that, but he did participate in resistance movements against Hitler and the Nazi regime. And he was put in prison, and he wrote about his experience of spending years in a Nazi prison. And these are the words that he wrote about Advent and his reflections. Advent is the time of promise, he said. It is not yet the time of fulfillment. We are still in the midst of everything and in the logical inexorability and relentlessness of destiny. Space is still filled with the noise of destruction and annihilation. The shouts of self assurance and arrogance, the weeping of despair and helplessness. But round about the horizon, the eternal realities stand silent in their age-old longing. There shines on them already the first mild light of the radiant fulfillment to come. And from afar, the sound of the first notes of the pipes and voices, not yet discernible as a song or melody. It is all far off still, and only just announced and foretold. But it is happening today. The hope that peace, God's peace, will come to the entire world is not realized yet. That's why we hope for it. But Alfred Delp is right. It is happening today. Slowly but surely, in God's time, not ours, it will come to pass. That is what we believe. That is what we proclaim. In this season of Advent, and in all the seasons to come. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.